Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I never even thought.
It's the dishwasher.
Oh, the dishwasher.
Sorry.
Sorry, I recorded all that.
That's okay.
That's
all right. So, anyway, now that the dishwasher's off, you're very welcome to this week's episode of the Swap Me podcast.
Thank you very much.
My name is Daniel Hanlon.
My name is Niall McCann.
And thanks very much to Neil O'Connor for, letting me sleep on his sofa while we made music. I was playing on Neil's album last week, and also for doing the podcast last week.
Diamond Geezer.
In lieu of a Niall, we had a Neil.
Yeah.
That's not to suggest that they're interchangeable. But I only put it up a couple hours ago, like, you know, the podcast.
Yeah,
so this
I haven't actually listened to the end of it. I'm only halfway through, but it seemed to be going all right.
I'm sure we'll get some.
Unless Neil went to do some kind of crazy race.
Oh yeah, literally like 5 seconds after this, the part where you stop listening, it's like the Mel Gibson thing. He starts calling me sugar tits, all sorts, like, you know.
All right, sugar tits. Dodge the oven, did you? Oh dear, oh.
But
Mel, what a crazy lunatic.
Yeah, that's like, it doesn't really matter what he does now. He's not getting it back, really, is he? He's been in like big budget.
Yeah,
I was surprised when I saw him in sort of the kind of commercial things he was in, like what was the Christmas film with John Lithgow in it?
And yeah, Daddy's Home.
Yeah. Whatever, yeah, I was surprised to see him turn up in that kind of stuff. Like, I wasn't surprised to see him with the hand puppet. What film was that?
Oh,
I was kind of thinking it's hand puppets for you from now on, Mel. To be fair, like, you know,
he seemed to be taken back into the fold. It seems to me like it's a strange one.
All's forgiven.
Well, I don't know how forgiven you. You see, it all depends. I don't know the man because
I wasn't working on the assumption that you did or anything.
Yeah, but to me, it's like there's two possible explanations for this shit. It's that he is a fucking self-destructive, downward spiraling alcoholic who said the most offensive and hateful and attempted to be the most hurtful thing he could possibly imagine in the moment.
Yeah.
Or he actually is just a zany, crazy, racist lunatic. And I don't know the man, so I can't tell you which of those it is.
It could be either or, really. And given that we've established we don't know him, we can't ask him.
Yeah. Bill finally got his comeuppance.
Say that again. Bill. Cosby, yeah. Well, fucking
old man Cosby.
Like 40 people can't be wrong, isn't it? 40? 40 Billy Cosby victims can't be wrong.
People, you can't trust people. People voted for the Nazis. Listen to what was it? People listened to the Lighthouse Family and voted for the Nazis. You can't trust people, Jess.
You know, it's hard to. The Lighthouse Family. Oh, sorry, I thought I was going on a different track.
It's hard to defend the Lighthouse Family. Oh, dear.
But, I mean, Cosby's had that coming for decades. Absolute decades. Yeah. He was, like, just...
Yeah.
Really just...
I don't think he
assumed he fucking... He really assumed he was operating outside of the law, that it didn't fucking apply to him.
Did he, or was that... I still don't think he conceives of what he did as being wrong. I really don't.
Well, maybe not, because he actually performed at like a benefit or something for some old jazz musician like 2 months ago or something like that.
Well, he rapes, but he saves.
And was, sorry?
He rapes, but he saves.
He rapes, but he saves.
In the immortal words of Dave Chappelle.
But he was making jokes about it at this benefit that he was doing, and he did stand up at this thing. Like, and it was this year. Like, it wasn't that long ago. Like,
I think that was very, very common. And I think he is, in a way that I can kind of understand, he's like, why aren't you taking up any of these other cunts on this? Why is it me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I could understand being very, very bitter. Because I remember one time watching a documentary, it was on Roman Polanski, actually. But somebody said Jack Nicholson came to them before all the shit hit the fan and told them, you might want to not be hanging around with Roman for a week or two.
Jack Nicholson said this
to somebody. So I can't remember who it was. It was a documentary. Somebody said, yeah, I met Jack Nicholson, and this guy knows. This guy has connections in Hollywood, Jack Nicholson. And he said, maybe steer clear of Roman. And then a couple of days later, all sort of exploded out.
Jesus.
I think people knew. I think people did it. And I don't think it was right. I don't think... I can't say... crying any tears that anybody would go to jail for it, but I could understand why if you were the guy going to jail for it, you would be like, but what about everybody
like, and you see Bill Cosby's wife seems to be standing by him through all this. You just think, what's her fucking story? Like, Camille. She just seems to be hanging out through the whole thing, like, you know.
It's a generational thing, I think. It really is. I think there's a generation that just thought that was par for the course.
Jesus, man.
I really do think that.
That's fucking sick. But,
There's always sickness. There's always sickness. Like, in 50 years' time, it may well... It's absolutely conceivable that in 50 years' time, the idea of giving sugar to a kid would be seen as rank child abuse. And people would be looking back at me going, you bribed your sister's kids to go to sleep when you babysat them by giving them bedtime sweets.
You thought they were going to go to sleep after you given them sweets?
I didn't care if they went to sleep. They went to bed, though. And I got the telly then. I could switch off Ratatouille or whatever.
Speaking of kids, have you seen The Avengers?
Sorry. That's all right. Speaking of kids, actually, congratulations to my brother, to Colin and Karen. They had a wee babby.
Oh, really? You got another...
I got another nephew.
Nephew,
yeah.
Nice. What, did they have a name?
Just met him today. Yeah, Dara. Dara McCann.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue. Dara McCann.
Dara McCann.
Good sturdy name, that.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
Yeah. Dara's a sturdy name. Dara can come over and bleed your oil tank for you.
I had to pull out the washing machine yesterday. I was quite... Turned out it was just a fuse going in the plug. But,
you pulled the whole thing out?
Yeah.
When we first moved into the house we're in at the minute, when we first moved in there, when the washing machine would reach... You know the way the washing machine reaches like one of those like crescendos where the fucking tub is, or the tub, the drum is going...
Yeah, yeah. 90
like
to
the
1000.
Clappers, like, you know, and then slows down. Every time it got to that scenario, the whole machine would cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out, we got electrician down like twice. It turned out the plug was just a bit loose. Just to be pushed into the wall a little bit better.
Oh my god. You see, that's why I wasn't called in no fucking washing machine repairman until I had...
Was that up to you? Is that kind of the terms of the lease that you take care of all that?
Well, I just like... What would be the point, like, to have somebody come and go, it's a fuse in the plug?
Because I just feel like...
It would be hugely embarrassing.
Even pulling it out, I'm liable to break it, like, you know, and just, like, give it a good tug, and then all of a sudden the door comes off or something.
That might
like
well happen. Washing machines are heavy fucking things. They have a concrete block. They have, like, a slab of concrete in the bottom of them.
Do they?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because if they didn't, they'd go flying when the drum reaches the
crescendo. Oh, yeah, because sometimes they wobble around. Like,
but the reason they wobble instead of hopping all over the floor is because there's a massive concrete slab at the bottom of every washing machine.
The good people at Zanussi looking out for us, or whatever yours is.
Cheers, Mr. Zanussi. I know a genuine Panaphonics when I see one.
And the play came to a close last night.
Yeah, God of Carnage.
I didn't get to see it, man. I'm awful sorry.
It's quite all right. You're in Galway.
I could have went last night. I was exhausted. I
you
fell asleep on the couch.
From Galway. Don't be silly. That's ridiculous. Don't be ridic.
I was going to go, though. I had all plans of going, and then I didn't.
People...
Plans are a great thing.
They're great. They're great in how they don't impinge on your life.
Yeah. They don't really interfere with things one way or the other, plans, do they?
Doing things is a pain in the hole. Planning things I could do all day. Yeah, it was grand. Yeah, people seemed to get a laugh out of it, which is good, which I was by no means certain they would now, I have to say.
Tell me, or tell them what you told me about what someone said about the voice that you did on the play. I thought it was funny.
I was asked if I had put a lot of research into the accent I was doing, because I was doing an American accent, and I was like, no, not really. I just did like an American accent I felt like I could hold for 75 minutes or whatever it was. It was a short wee play. And she went, oh yeah, I thought, because you sounded like 90% Bill Burr and 10% any Jew. something along those
good
lines.
Praise, actually, you know.
A Jewish Bill Burr.
At least it was solid and constant, like, you know, at least you weren't like Russell Crowe zipping in and out of accents, like, you know.
Russell Crowe.
Or the woman that
or
plays...
Just there, it sounded nothing like Russell
Crowe. I don't know who that was. Yeah. Or the woman that plays Woody Harrelson's wife in the billboards outside Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Her accent, it was a few scenes before it was like, oh, she's Australian. It's just like, it seemed to me like her accent was all over the gaff.
She's Australian.
So, I'm sorry, did you say you hadn't seen Avengers?
Oh, no, I said I did, yeah.
Oh, what did you make of it?
It's very good. Like,
you enjoyed it, yeah?
Yeah. I can't fault it. Like, it's... I thought there's no way this is going to be... I still maintain, right, there's a second part coming, like, you know. And people are going on, like, I've heard, seen a lot of stuff on the internet. Oh, it's a game changer. Oh, my God.
That's what everyone
brave it was.
My sister said that to me today, who isn't someone who reads film reviews or anybody. She was saying, yeah, everyone's saying it's a game changer. And she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, it doesn't mean fucking anything.
It's bullshit. It's the second act. They ended. They essentially ended it at the second act, which is when everything goes to shit. It's like, oh, my God. What's going to happen now? There's a magic wishing glove. Everything will be fine. They'll get the wishing glove and wish everything back. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But everybody's... And you don't want to be the prick pissing on things. Like, because, you know, there's moments at the end of it where it sort of does make you kind of... I got a wee bit welly up for a couple of them.
Welly up?
I welled up slightly. Put me wellies up. Pulls me wellies up. You know, and you don't want to piss on people who are having that. But also, don't go on the internet and claim it's anything more than just they happen to tell the story well and it got to that particular beat and it landed very well. Don't say that, oh, no, there's no way back from this. It'll never be the same again.
But there hasn't...
They literally will. They have a magic wishing stone. It will be fine.
But isn't it a thing, like, generally speaking, though, the Marvel films have handled the storytelling aspect of things pretty well, haven't they?
Yeah, and this was better than they had any right to. Because they had literally all of their... Not quite, but a hugely, overwhelmingly, overwhelming majority of their other sort of... All their individual franchises suddenly comes and all
well,
comes together
the,
in this.
Fucking Chris Pratt's thing, doesn't he? Don't that gang show
Guardians
up?
Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, they've yeah. quite and they've got quite a big role in it. And everybody, nobody gets really shortchanged.
Does Deadpool show up? Does he have anything to do with anything
he's,
in that?
Fox Studios own him, so
really,
yeah.
Oh,
because this was those deals predate Marvel making the films themselves when they were for money flogging off the rights to characters to different studios.
Oh, right, for some reason, I thought I thought some of the other heroes were in the Deadpool film.
The X-Men.
Oh, is it the X-Men? Mm. Oh, okay. I had it in my head it was the Avengers, but that's the Spider-Man film, isn't it?
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Okay, that makes sense then.
I mean, that's... Okay, super spoilers. It's just that the irritating thing is that...
Okay, spoilers, so just
spoilers.
Be clear. All right,
one
so
spoiler.
People are still, you know... look, personally, don't give a fuck. Spoil away, yeah. But if you're listening and you haven't seen
it... I knew you didn't give a fuck. But so listen, skip forward, give us 5 minutes. It's not going to take 5 minutes. I'm giving myself plenty of leeway. It's one fucking whinge I'm going to have. It's just people, if you're a kid and you go to see this, a load of major characters die at the end, right?
Really? Yeah, that many.
Thanos absolutely decimates them.
See, I don't, what's Thanos? Is that a man or is that?
This is one of the reasons I thought it was going to be shit, because Thanos is the guy, if you've been watching the other Marvel films, he'll occasionally show up sitting on a chair. And people will go, what the fuck with him?
Like granddad from Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, basically, he's a space granddad from Only Fools and Horses. And people go, oh, don't fuck with him. He's a fucking mental case, that fella. Don't worry about him. He'll take care of all the fucking shit. We'll all be fucked when he shows up. And they've just spent 10 years building that up. And I just thought, like, you can't make that work. Now, no matter how big they take this, it's never going to work. And they kind of sidestepped it very cleverly in a way that really worked by... making this film, they almost made it Thanos' film. There's like a lot of sort of Thanos flashback.
Seems like it's fucking everybody's film. I feel like I could have got a part in this.
That's the
secret
of it. It's kind of not. It's like all the heroes and all that stuff are almost kind of cameos in the background of Thanos' story.
Oh, okay.
And it just sort of steps it back, and he's this really sort of quiet... He's just a really good villain. It works because of him. The film works because of him. And Josh Brolin was really, really good.
Is that the spoiler? That Thanos is in it? Does everybody
know
that?
The spoiler is that a load of people die. The spoiler is, you said that.
Sorry.
The spoiler is specifically... This is what was annoying me.
Is it all the ones that wanted out of their contract that died?
No. They're not going to be able to be that blunt about it. Although, magic wishing stone. They'll find a way around it, right? That's what the whole fucking film's about. And he's looking for the magic wishing stone and he gets it at the end. And kills, wishes half of them out of existence. And but Marvel have just had, they've just done this deal with fucking Sony. If you're a kid watching it, I can understand when Spider-Man dies at the end. You go, oh my god! You know, if
but,
you're...
Yeah, and if, but if you're an adult and you're reading about the deals that everybody has set up for the next one, you're like, oh, for fuck's
sake. Exactly. Or even, like, Marvel not going to pay Sony fucking $50 million bajillion dollars for the rights to Spider-Man so they can kill him off in the next film. Like,
yeah, it's just, so stupid.
Yeah, Black Panther dies at the end as well. All these people just sort of, Thanos, just as he snaps his fingers and everybody's sort of looking around as they fucking, their mates just kind of evaporate. And the Spider-Man one is especially touching because he's a kid, like, and Tony was trying to take care of him. Iron Man was trying to keep him out of the fight. And there's just this moment where you see him realizing he's disappearing and he, it was kind of tough watching it. He sort of grabs Iron Man. He's like, I don't want to, Mr. Stark, I don't want to die. And then he's gone. And it, well, I
listened
was kind
to
of like,
Kermode shit, talking about dark. It. And Kermode was kind of saying, if you're not into the Marvel thing, this is pretty unbearable because it's really long.
I listened to Kermode's review. I think you're paraphrasing.
No,
quite
I don't think so,
there.
Man. He said himself that he had a hard time sitting through the whole thing. Like, you know,
I don't know that he said. That's not how it came across for me. Like,
and he was counting out all the problems he had with it, and he got to number like 5 or 6. Like, you know, he counted out all. It seemed to me that he didn't love it, but he didn't really want to say that he didn't love it.
No, I think he said he didn't love it. He did say he was talking to people who, speaking to people who really loved it, and we all kind of agreed that on the strengths and the weaknesses.
He said what it does, people, it does very well. I think that was the main thing. Yeah. And like, you don't say that about something you loved.
No, I'm not telling you that he loved it. I think he gave it a generally favorable review. I think he thought, you know what? If you're going to see a popcorn blockbuster, which you all are, you sheeple. This is probably the one to go to, I think, was his general attitude.
Okay, no, but that's not like, the way. I only listened to that like yesterday morning. And
yeah,
like,
you too.
Although I really came out Friday night, I suppose, like, you know.
I was without any fucking mechanical or machinery background. I was listening to it while trying to fix a washing machine.
Well, so you agree that your attentions were split.
Look, all I'm saying is, right, if you were under fucking 13 or 14... and you are devastated and you think this is a fucking game changer, how are they going to come back from this ever? I can accept that. If you are over 15 and you're saying this is a game changer, they killed off all these people. They just made 50 bajillion gishquillion bajiminillion dollars with Black Panther. They did not then kill him off in the next film. They don't. Not that's not happening.
No, I get you.
Grow the fuck up. Everybody's call. Everybody over 14 calling it a game changer on the internet. Grow the fuck up. Magic wishing stone, glove, whatever it is. Magic wishing glove. They'll get it before the end of the next one, and it will all be fine. They'll
the
wish
is,
everybody
like,
back.
These things all end the same. It's just it's kind of about the journey with these things because the storyline is always, and then everything was grand. Maybe not for everybody. Maybe everything wasn't 100% grand for everybody. But people by and large did okay out of all of this. Like, you
it's,
know.
Look, I was quite forthright in my absolute determination that this was going to be a complete disaster. They couldn't possibly make this work. Because A, there's going to be too many characters, and B, they've overhyped Thanos to a ridiculous extent and he'll never pay off. And actually, they came up with a rather elegant solution, I thought, that made it really work. They turned it,
well, that's cool,
this Avengers film into sort of Thanos featuring the Avengers. And it made all the Avengers guys got their little sort of cameos in the background while Thanos was going through the universe trying to build himself up into a space god, which he succeeds in doing.
What is that?
It's my neighbour.
Oh. Is
enough,
he a bit
enough
nuts?
Said.
Oh, okay. Is he a bit nuts?
I'm on the internet now.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that.
Probably. He's marching to the beat of his own drum.
What is he singing or is he just shouting?
Oh, no, I think he's just talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's hard to tell when they're shouting and when they're talking. They're
I've had those kind of neighbours.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Look, they haven't overly bothered me or anything like so.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's fine.
So I'm glad that the Avengers thing wasn't like a crushing disappointment for you or anything, like, you know.
No, the next one will be shit.
You said that about this one.
Yeah, but the next one, the
well, the next one's Return of the Jedi, really, isn't it? Because then it has to be the nice one where they wrap everything up.
Yeah, but they're not going to, because the fans won't let them, and they will trust the fans as if the fans know fucking anything. That's what's going to happen. They're gonna use this as an excuse to sort of reboot and get old actors out of... You'll find a lot of people will be coming back from the dead and going through transformations and, oh, look, he's slightly younger Iron Man now.
There's a few of them now that are too fucking old to be playing these parts.
Exactly, like, but they're going to use it as an excuse to fucking cast Channing Tatum or something in one of the roles or whatever. I don't know.
But whoever. That's what they'll do. Like, you know, how many fucking Batmans have there been? Like,
they don't have to do that. If that's the reason for the next film, that's not a reason I have any interest in. I would rather see, like, the story brought to a proper close rather than... look... These are fucking archetypal stories, right? These are the same. These are old fucking myths recast. I mean, fucking Thor's in it, like, right? There's no...
Thousands of years in the making, like...
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about the myths, about myth, about those kind of archetypal stories is you need you need that moment. You need the fucking... You need the end. You need your Ragnarok. You need your fucking apocalypse. You need your fucking going into the underworld. And, the fans will never allow them to make that story. And if they trust the fans in this, they will only ever be left with an unsatisfying story.
It does seem to be a thing that's just going to keep sustaining itself. Like, and it's not like... Yeah.
Which I have no problem. I have no problem with them just fucking finishing this story and then the next Captain America film, somebody else is playing Captain America. It works for James Bond. Who goes to a James Bond film and goes, he looks completely different to the last one. How am I supposed to take this seriously? I mean, fuck off.
Is what was I going to say? I had something to say, and I forget what it was.
What were you going to say?
Well, this is very much my conundrum. I like, can't remember.
It's a mystery wrapped up in an enigma. Served in a riddle jus.
I remember what it was. It's Stan Lee in some kind of weird financial straits or something. What's that all about?
Yeah, some.
We're gonna jump off the Marvel thing there in a few minutes, because.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I just think this story about him, like.
I've given that film shit for months before seeing it, and now I have seen it, and I feel like it's only right that I apologize. Say, listen, they did good. Fair play. Fair play, lads. Respect.
But Stan Lee is in, like, because is his wife. His wife has passed away, is that correct? And now
yes,
he's
just
an old,
last year, like, yeah.
He's in his house and he's got, like, elder care or whatever, but they're, like, really taking advantage of him or
well,
something?
Well, it seems... do you know what? This is wild speculation on my part, having read some fucking articles on the internet. Well, the first thing I heard was that he was one of the fallen, like, he was a...
That's what I heard as well.
He was going to be on the Free the Cosby One kind of situation, like, you know?
Cosby.
Yeah, I'm going to get a t-shirt with that on it. I just find it amusing. Free the Cosby One! I don't really think he should be freed.
No,
the man
no,
did horrible things. But you have to admit the idea of that t-shirt is kind of amusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, to me it is.
Don't
no,
really
you don't have to admit
I don't really
that,
want
actually.
To be the one that goes to the fucking front lines with that joke on a t-shirt, though.
Yeah, fuck it.
But,
yeah, so I heard he was, like, doing some stuff to the home help. He was... Charlie Rosen up the home help or whatever it was, and then things exploded and it sounded like maybe these were spurious allegations because he discovered that money was being funneled away that
Jesus
he didn't know
Christ
about.
No.
Yeah,
doesn't Kevin Smith offered to let him live in his house? Did you see that? I thought he already lived in Kevin Smith's house. Lived up his arse anyway. Like
I have a feeling he's not going to need to take Kevin up on that offer. Like, doesn't mean he wasn't robbed from or it doesn't mean an elderly man has not been taken advantage of. Do you want me to pull the curtain there?
No, I'm good. I was thinking more about you because the sun is not at the moment. The sun is shining in Niall's eyes and he looks like a man whose future is so bright that he has to wear shades.
Sun is shining, weather is outside.
What is it? Weather is outside.
I don't know. What are we talking about? Stan Lee.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, now that it's all out in the open, I doubt very much he's still living under some sort of oppressive elder care regime. You know, he has to be... Even if, like, somebody's constant of, like, become millionaires off... by rights, fucking Robert Downey Jr. should be around there sorting that out. Like, no one of this generation would even know who the fuck that man is if it wasn't for the creations of Stan Lee. Like... That's who should be fucking helping him.
Like the Charlie Chaplin guy? That wasn't a bad film, as I recall.
The Chaplin bio is actually pretty good.
Mm. They're funny enough, they were discussing the pronunciation, the correct pronunciation of biopic come biopic on Cameron Wood and Mayo yesterday.
Oh, were they? Because I limited time yesterday morning. I woke up on Neil's couch yesterday morning and I was kind of... Neil has very young kids, so it was like bedlam upstairs with people okay. running about doors banging kids. Like, you can hear like someone going poof, landing on the ground and then you know, so this was going on from about 7:30, so there wasn't an awful lot of sleep to be had. Like,
understandable.
It did make me think, oh yeah, Kermode will have reviewed Thingamajing, so I went on YouTube and watched it, like, you know.
I thought you were going to say, it did make me broody. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, my breasts got tender just listening to him. I just sort of was awake then, and I was thinking, oh, Kermode will have reviewed the Avengers. And then I just, rather than get the podcast, I went on YouTube and just watched that one review.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's a long show, and... You know, yeah.
Well, I would generally listen to the show, but I generally listen to it because Saturday's my day for doing me bits and pieces. Like,
yeah,
so it's just about the perfect length, Dan. My bits and pieces last exactly as long as Kermode and Mayo, as a rule.
As many females will attest to.
No, they won't. Anything else they tell you is a dirty lie.
So, Niall, this is the Swap Me podcast.
That's what it is.
Every week, you and I swap pop cultural artifacts. We get together. A week later, after we've had a chance to listen, read, watch, whatever the case may be.
Imbibe,
swallow, rub on our arms, whatever the fuck it is. You
know? Cogitate.
Yeah, soak into a sponge and then suck on it, whatever it is, like, you know. I got you to listen to... anyway, that's every week we do this. Every comic is someone's first comic, as a wise old neglected man once said.
Didn't Stephen Hawking have an affair with his nurse?
Apparently so, yes. Yeah, I don't know the mechanics behind that.
I am fascinated by that. I would love to know the mechanics, though.
In the words of the Manic Street Preachers, there is no theory of everything.
Theory of everything, baby.
So,
oh, good segue.
Who would have thought it? Mm-hmm. I got you to listen to the new Manic Street Preachers album, Niall.
Yes, you did, you bastard.
It's called Resistance is Futile. And I'm going to give you a blast, as good people out there, of the lead-off song from it. This is off the album Resistance is Futile, and it's International Blue. So that is International Blue by the Manic Street Preachers. Apparently it's about an artist who copyrighted that colour, International Blue.
Oh.
I don't know the name of the artist.
Artists do that. I heard about that story then, actually. I didn't realise that's what it was about.
People do it with fonts. Like, apparently, isn't Hunter S. Thompson's handwriting, isn't that a font?
Very possible.
I think so.
But fonts are kind of different. Fonts take time and design effort and everything. How much design effort goes into saying, this shade of blue...
is International Blue. Yes, it's mine.
Yes.
Because I thought of it, and it's mine, and I came up with it, and I own it, and it's mine.
Yes, exactly.
What Python sketch is that?
That's
thrust a quite controversial look at the world we live in.
Is that, my theory is that the Brontosaurus was skinny at one end, big in the middle, and then skinny at the other end.
And that is mine.
That is my theory, and I came up with it, and it's mine.
But, yeah. I don't know that. I don't know how you can copyright a color. I don't like that.
Can we copyright a tone? Do we have a tone on this podcast we could copyright? Could we call it like Gruss? Auburn Gruss.
Auburn Gruss. Yeah. It's possible. Have you ever heard the term "on God's good humor"? I'm on God's good humor.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I said that a couple of times the other night to somebody, and they were like, "What?" And I was like, "That's a common saying." And she was like, "It absolutely isn't."
We might have talked about this before, but I've said things that I'm pretty sure have entered the lexicon.
Like what?
Like I used to.
The blank from hell.
A little bit like that. Like
okay.
I remember like years ago when I was a kid, like when I was like 14 or something, and we were talking about drinking with a few friends. And I meant to say like, oh, I was well oiled or something like that. And I think I messed it up and I said, oh, I was well on it. And then that was something I like kept saying. And I'd never heard anyone say it previous to that, but I've heard it turn up on like television and stuff like since then.
You should.
And I'm pretty sure I invented that. And I'm not even joking. I'm pretty sure I invented that.
Danny, the problem is, it's like Cameron and Mayo discussing biopic when we did it a couple of weeks back. And there was something else I caught this week where I was like, we were talking about that like a couple of weeks ago. We're always just slightly ahead of the curve.
But you notice
that's worse than not having been there at all, Dan.
It's true, but the Valerian, what's it called?
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
That popped up on the Wittertainment Facebook group like a week ago.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, but you commented on it. You said, oh, I like that. Insightful remark, I like that one.
Yeah, no, I like that.
But this was
because everybody was slagging it off, so I was just like, "Yeah, fuck yous, guys, I like that."
But this was after we picked it for the podcast. So I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I do think that, but I'm convinced I invented that phrase, and it just somehow just got out into the world and has sort of come back to me.
I don't think I've ever invented a phrase. I think anything I come up with off my own bat sounds pretentious. Sounds pretentious. It's like arsehole signifier. So who'd want to use it? Like. Only other arseholes. But they never will, because they're a bunch of fucking assholes.
But
I'm going to turn off the heat because I'm sitting in the sun.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's roasting in here. But I was thinking, well, how did we get on to that even?
Because
the color.
International blue. What the fuck is that? I don't think you should be allowed to copyright a color.
Yeah, especially,
or DNA. They let them do that in the States, and it's been a fucking downhill slope ever since.
Copyright DNA.
Yeah.
How? What do you mean?
It was an organism that ate oil or something, and so it was like a bacteria, like that you could use to dissolve oil.
Okay.
They went to court and they said, "This is our work. We created this organism, and we want to patent it." It wasn't copyright; it was patent, and they were allowed to do it. And I don't think that's good.
No, it doesn't sound good.
Because, I mean, we are getting this, but we have the human genome now pretty much decoded. The Human Genome Project finished its work. So, can I go in there and start copywriting bits of that? I don't like that. I don't like that idea.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be able to stop you if you fancied it.
I still wouldn't like it, Dan. Sorry, am I, you're moving?
No, I'm a bit obsessed with mic placement these days.
I'll tell you who else wouldn't like it. The Manics wouldn't like it, Dan.
No, that's true. This is very much an album about feeling a little bit lost in the world, Niall, I think. And
just like every other Manics thing I know.
I saw a thing on Twitter yesterday. I can't remember who tweeted it. It was a tweet that said, it was Bruce Banner. You know, Bruce Banner says, "Don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry." And then someone says back to Bruce Banner, "It's 2018. Everybody's angry and nobody likes anybody."
That's true, man. That's true.
It was meh something. I can't remember. Fuck. I can't remember who fucking said it.
Why are people so angry all of a sudden?
It's because people feel helpless. Yeah. It feels like a great amount of the decisions that govern your life are kind of made by other people, and you don't have an awful lot of say in an awful lot of things.
In the 1920s, short skirts, you know those really short flapper skirts? Nothing to the imagination.
Yeah.
They were all, you know, the fucking Al Capone dancing the Charleston kind of skirts. They were...
He didn't wear those skirts, did he?
Al Capone? No, but the women would have flappers, like, from the 20s. They were all the rage. And then the crash happened. Economic disaster for a decade. And what was in fashion then? Fucking quiet square shoulder fucking dress, long skirts down to the ankle. People got very moralistic and very religious. And I think we're living in a world where religion isn't necessarily a fucking viable option for a lot of people. But the same urge is there. You have to be virtuous. You saw what happened. They crashed us in 2008. So now we'll be virtuous. And anybody who's not being virtuous, I shall shake my fist at and glower across the street.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I think that's...
There's an element of that.
I think there's an element of that.
I suppose you're right.
We all need to get fucking some money in our pockets again, Dan.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, you know, like, even this, like, when I think about my living situation going forward, whether or not we, like, end up renting another place or trying to buy a place or something, I just fucking get freaked out. Like, I'm just like, you know...
Yeah, it's a... It's
but today, I have a roof. Tomorrow, who knows?
Well, I suppose that's life, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. Like, I don't think things necessarily level out. I think one thing that I struggle with is that I just have to get it into my head that every day there's going to be something. Like, you know...
I kept waiting until I was grown up, and then I wouldn't have to worry about shit anymore. And that was a somewhat naive... expectation.
We were talking about the eels last week, and I heard that guy in an interview saying he, because he wrote an autobiography 10 years ago, let's say. Maybe
how old was he? Less.
Well, he was only in his 40s, but like he had a pretty eventful life up to that point. And he was saying that when I wrote the book, that was kind of focused on all the craziness that happened from my childhood up until like I turned 40 or whatever, I thought, oh, that's a great way to like draw a line under that now and get on with my life, my new life, my hassle-free life.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, and then the next 10 years were worse, if anything." Like, you know.
But I still don't accept that he had a very eventful life. I mean, how old was fucking Lawrence of Arabia when he died? Was he 40 even?
Yeah, but it's all relatively speaking. Depending on the kind of person you are, like going to the fucking... I don't know, going to the supermarket when you think it's open and it's closed. It could, depending on the kind of person you are, that could be a fucking huge event that sends you into a spiral that destroys the rest of the week.
I would love if when that guy dies and goes to heaven, as I'm sure he will, he meets fucking Lawrence of Arabia and Lawrence is reading his autobiography and he says, "Why did you decide to write an autobiography at 40? And he says, "Well... in 1999, I got high with Snoop Dogg at the Grammys. Me and Snoop Dogg and Coolio. Remember Coolio?
Gangsta's Paradise. Or the theme tune for Keenan and Kel.
And Lawrence will just go, "Oh, I was dead by that age. And I had united the nations of Arabia to tear down the Ottoman Empire."
And then he's like, "But none of these struggles with your record company seem like they were hell too."
I just don't know about it. I just don't. These fucking young people's autobiographies are very fucking... I don't know how great I feel.
You were writing your autobiography a chapter at a time on this podcast every week.
That's a fair point. Fair point.
So, did you like the Manic Street Preachers album?
I didn't dislike it. Will that do?
Expand.
It sounded exactly... I was never a huge fan of... They were one of the big bands of my adolescence. And I was never a big fan of them.
Did you like Design for Life or anything? Or?
Yeah. Nice song. That If You Tolerate This. They just seemed slightly po-faced and pretentious when you put them next to some of their contemporaries.
They were.
And I found that difficult to... For a man who was at that time and remains to only a slightly lesser extent quite po-faced and pretentious himself, I didn't find those attractive qualities.
you didn't like yourself reflected back at you in the music you were listening to.
I hate seeing myself reflected back at me. Nothing will make me angrier than meeting someone who reminds me of myself. I will despise no man more than a man who despises and reminds me of myself. But
well, the thing is, like at that time when they got big, it was actually kind of a weird situation because it was they'd had three albums out, and their band member Richie Edwards, who was in the band for the previous three albums. Well, he was their co-lyricist. Nicky Wire and Richie Edwards wrote the lyrics, and James Dean Bradfield and Sean Moore wrote the music. And after the Holy Bible came out, which is the third album they put out, he went missing. He drove his car to a well-known place where people would commit suicide and disappeared. No body was ever found. Nothing like that, you know?
Holy shit.
And so they made an album like a year after that, maybe 2 years after that. And that was the one that had Design for Life and Australia and all these songs on it. So they got big at a time when they were kind of a bit all over the place emotionally, like, you know.
And have nothing has come up since?
Not a stitch. They still don't know what happened to him, really. No, like, clues? You know, he could be still alive. He could have just took off and he could be living somewhere else for all anybody knows. But he was declared legally dead at some point a few years ago because he'd been missing for X amount of time. But that doesn't mean he is dead, really. Like, you know.
But
they weren't big
at that point, were they?
No, but they were, you know, they to a point, like, you know.
I think he's probably dead.
I mean, possibly.
If they had the success that they had and he was still alive.
What do you think?
I think he'd have like, well, lads, I'm back. I'm just standing here in my old position.
They were all like childhood friends. They'd known each other since they were very young kids.
I shouldn't be sneering.
If he did that, it'd be a pretty low to me, put everybody into that worry, and then as soon as a few quid has been made, be like, oh, I never said I was leaving. I suppose it would be, but yeah, listen, like
that man's gone. God love him.
But what I'm getting at is, when they did get big, the reason they look so fucking po-faced and all that is because they were kind of torn between Peter and Paul, whatever the fuck. I'm not what am I trying to say. Like
Peter, Paul,
they, this
and Mary.
Huge success, but there was this torn like sadness.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
And.
Well, there's three of Mama them Cass. And three of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, okay.
But, so they were kind of, at the same time that they got this huge success, they got it at the time when the kind of the most charismatic member of the band was gone. Like, you know, so it took him, I'm sure it fucking made everything really bittersweet, like, you know.
Yeah, I would say so. But, what have they been doing now for the last 20 years that I haven't been paying attention? I took a brief 20-year hiatus from my following of the Manic Street Preachers. What have they been doing?
They've just been putting out an album every few years to varying degrees of success, like, you know.
Because this album, if you had told me this was, like, they released this in 1998 and I just happened not to have, which could well have happened, I just happened never to have heard of that album, I would have been like, yeah, that's the Manics.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It is very classic. It's not an album that's full of surprises, like.
But are they returning to their roots, a la, you know, 2000 era U2, or have they just never left their roots?
They have
just been living in the roots.
They have made a few detours into different kinds of music that I wouldn't have totally been on board with. Like, there was an album called Lifeblood that was a pretty difficult thing to listen to. Even the one with If You Tolerate This on it, I didn't like that album.
If you tolerate this.
They did one called Rewind the Film that I really liked. That was kind of, it's almost kind of folky. Like, it was a little bit more of a, like, an album that a band from the 70s might have made, where it was, like, stylistically was kind of a bit all over the place. Like, you know.
Froggy went to court, no boy, oh my.
Yeah.
Buffalo Gallows, won't you come out tonight?
But I'm just trying to think, like, I just really like, I thought it was, yeah, it was a classic Manix album.
Look,
there's nothing
else. I'm not being enthusiastic about it, but it was grand. It was exactly what I would have expected from the Manic Street Preachers. When you said listen to the Manic Street Preachers album, I was like, okay, I have an idea in my head of what that is, and then I listened to it and I was like, yep,
yeah,
that's them.
I think it's I've been just watching them being interviewed and stuff, because obviously they're doing the rounds of radio stations and stuff at the minute, and in an age of YouTube where you can listen to all that shit, I've been listening to it, and they kind of said they wanted every song on it to almost be like a, it could be a single, like in and of itself. And I think if anything, that kind of works against this album a little bit, because it's a little bit overwhelming after a while. It's just like, it's a bloke being really emotional for about an hour.
It's
in your face, you
it's
know?
Almost like a 90s version of power ballads.
Yeah.
It's very anthemic. Again, yeah. And again and again.
And I think you can't listen to that many anthems in a row.
No, anthems are a dish best served sparingly.
You can't wave a flag for an hour.
No, your arms would be knackered.
Yeah. But there's some stuff on this I really like.
20 miles every day, she'd be fucking knackered.
I'm going to play a little bit of this. This is apparently about Dylan Thomas and his wife.
Oh.
And it's called Dylan...
The poet?
Yeah. No, yeah. The plasterer.
I don't... Oh, yeah. Oh, the wife's a lovely one.
So this is off Resistance is Futile. This is Dylan and Caitlin. So that's a little bit of Dylan and Caitlin. I really like most of this album. Like, sorry, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to ask you who the lady was.
Someone called the Anchoress. I don't know much about her.
The Anchoress.
I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. The Anchoress, as in an anchor on a ship.
Oh.
The Anchoress.
A lady anchor.
A lady anchor, yeah. I didn't realize that anchors were gender specific, but apparently they are.
I suppose it depends what you're doing with them.
Yeah. But sorry, yeah, she's called the Anchoress. I don't know the first thing about her, to be honest. Fair she's fair. A great voice, wherever she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, it was a nice song as well. I didn't know it was about Dylan Thomas.
Usually when they do duets, they've done a couple of duets with Yuan Nina, what's her name, from the Cardigans. You know that one? Your love alone is not enough, not enough. You know that song?
Okay, not really, but I know,
you would have heard
her.
It. Yeah, she's great as well. I actually, that's who I thought that was at first, but it's not. But I think I love the Manic Street Preachers. I particularly, I love listening to Nicky Wire being interviewed. He's always worked up about something. He's a bit like yourself, actually. Like
No wonder I don't like the content.
He's got really dramatic views and opinions on everything. Like, you know, no matter what it is. Like,
I don't feel like I have really dramatic views.
Well, no, not all the time. You wouldn't be able to fucking function if you did. But
yeah, but some people.
I only
do.
I only see Nicky Wire when he's been interviewed by a radio station or whatever, and I'm sure he's trying to make these interviews worth listening to, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, outside of this podcast, you and I have conversations that have no drama in them at all.
Yeah.
You know. But
shocking as that may sound, listeners.
Yeah. But I think I like listening to him being interviewed. James Dean Bradfield is one of my all-time favorite musicians. He's an amazing guitar player. He's a great singer. And he's very good at doing complicated guitar things and singing at the same time. I've seen him live twice. And the guy is amazing. He does the work of three people up on that stage. Like, you know, he's an amazing musician. Like,
I was once told, in conjunction, I was once told I do the work of two men. Laurel and Hardy.
Who said that to you?
Colin Thayer, he was a boss guy on the road. Years ago.
Laurel and Hardy.
You do the work of two men. Laurel and Hardy. All
right, probably. Myself and Kat have this kind of joke where she just says, "Oh, I'm just one woman," and I say, "No, you're not. You're eight women and two men."
Um,
Yeah, so he works himself up. He sounds like a fella who's worked up about a lot of things.
Yeah, that's why sometimes I feel like the lyrics are a little bit... Because James Dean Bradfield's delivery is very dramatic and sort of... It's not subtle, you might say. He's not a very subtle singer or a subtle guitar player. No. And Nicky Wire's got these like points to be made every time. Like, you know, well, he writes all the lyrics. This,
then your children will be next then.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes the marriage of those two things is fucking sublime. And sometimes it's like someone with a Welsh flag painted on their face screaming in your ear. Like, you know.
How lyrical. I don't feel like I get worked up about a lot of things.
Not the way you used to. When I first met you, you had everything. You had a dramatic opinion about most things.
I feel like I only have a dramatic opinion about people who have dramatic opinions. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Because I was in the pub.
It's different now, obviously. Like I'm talking about you like 20 years ago. Because that's how long we've known each other now. Now pretty much
frightening.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, you were in a pub.
I was in a pub there last weekend, and I was talking to a fella who was a very nice fella. I was getting on very well with him. I thought I
sense a however on the horizon.
I met him a couple of times previously because he was a friend of a friend, and it was a lovely Friday evening, and I was going to go to the gym, and it was. And I got a text.
You were sweating enough outside. You didn't need to go.
I got a text from a friend who said we're in the beer garden in Burns. If you fancy it. It was about 5:15. Work was just coming through. You could just see the fucking finish line at work. And I thought, am I going to go to the gym on this beautiful day when the forecast is for rain on Sunday? This weather's not going to last. I'm going to the fucking beer garden. So I went to the beer garden. I sat there for a couple of hours.
I love that beer garden.
It's a beautiful
beer garden. It's lovely, yeah. It's really nice. There's a bus at the back. It's brilliant.
We were debating. Could you ever get into that bus?
I don't know. I can't. You know what? Burns is not a pub I spent very much time in. The only thing that brought me over to Burns was, I lived directly across the road from it for a while. And then Kieran McNulty would often suggest that.
Kieran who sent me that text that night.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, he seems to like that pub.
Yeah, it's a guards pub, I believe.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah.
But lovely beer garden, yeah. But I went and I was talking to this chap and we were getting on. I felt like I was getting on very well with him and he was very nice. And then... You know the way sometimes conversations become political, and I do my best. There are some people I would have no problem having a political conversation with because I know it won't really fucking matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are some people I would be like, no, because he'll just hold it against me. And that's so. And I didn't know this guy, so I thought like I was trying to steer it away, but he literally turned around and he said, I can't remember his exact words, but he said something along the lines of, quite unironically. America, why the fuck, something has to be done. I was just like...
Like what?
That's a dramatic thing to say, is it not?
Yeah, no, it is.
That's a dramatic opinion. I don't know that those were his exact words, but I tell you what, I am absolutely capturing the spirit of what he said.
Some people get away with delivering dramatic opinions like in offhand, oh, America, something has to be done. And you're just like, wait a minute. Like, if you forensic that, whatever that verb is, that's a crazy thing to say, like, you know.
We have had a century and a half about where the predominant global values were individual freedoms. And individual freedoms and essential human dignity. Imperfectly lived up to on multiple occasions. But those were the predominant... Those were the predominant global cultural narratives, and that is because the United States was there as a global cultural force. And when they are not there anymore, and it just goes back to whoever has the biggest fucking club, that will be a day we will rue. But you can't say that in a pub.
No, that's true.
I couldn't fuck, because I didn't know the chaplain.
Yeah, and also no one's going to let you talk for that long without interrupting you.
Exactly. I mean, so what can I do? Whereas, you know, his great political opinions could be summed up in a pithy sentence like, something has to be done. Them fucking yanks.
Them fucking yanks.
I've had it up to fucking here with them. I just...
Do you know what? It came up in conversation the other day, and it was...
Opinions. I just dislike anybody with a dramatic opinion.
There was...
I do feel dramatic about that.
I'm expressing it dramatically.
Yes, anyway.
There was just... This just put this in my head. When Cat was first in Dundalk. A friend of my sister's was having a party, and he is a fellow who's a musician. He's in a band, but he was living on his own in a house with a few lads in the band, and they had a big sitting room where they had all their gear set up, the drums and all that shit.
Yeah.
But at the back, or maybe just on the wall beside it, or at the back as a backdrop to all the gear being set up, they had a Confederate flag, and Kat could not believe it when she saw it. She was like, is that the fucking Confederate flag? And why the fuck have they got that? And I was trying to explain to her, like, over here, that's just like fucking Dukes of Hazzard, or like, you know, like, or Fortunate Son or whatever. Like, that doesn't, like, that means nothing over here. Like, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the thing, fucking, the lads from fucking, what's the band? Sweet Home Alabama. What are they called? The fuck are they called?
It's my fridge.
Yeah, that's the sound of Niall's fridge. That's not either of our brains. What the fuck are they called? Leonard Skinner. That's not just something Leonard
Skinner... Jesus Christ, I had to pull that off from my boots.
That's not just something that the lads from Leonard Skinner have stitched into a denim shirt, like, over here. Like, you know, it's...
Sweet home Alabama.
But it's like, she couldn't get over that someone had the fucking Confederate flag in their house. Like, you know...
Yeah, but there's no point in... I will never eat at a restaurant called Mo's. I won't do it.
Is there many of them around?
It's an enormous sushi chain.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if it's a sushi chain there. But it's a big restaurant chain. And it's not like, you know, there happened to be another guy called Mao who had a restaurant and made a chain out of it. Yeah. It's like their symbol is Chairman Mao. One of the most murderous dictators of the 20th century. If not the most murderous dictator. Depends whether you're counting all those famine deaths. Which you could perhaps say, well, he didn't directly cause that. Except his fucking policies did, frankly.
Jesus, I didn't know that there was a sushi chain called Mao's.
Yeah, but...
I don't think Korean sushi chains.
There's also no point... There's also no point in me... There's also no point in me getting angry about it. I'll have my thing. I won't fucking go to Mao's. I won't put a Confederate flag up in my home. Unless, you know...
That's the least you can do.
No, but you see, this is the thing. It's also the most I can do. There's no point in me trying to reach into somebody's head and say, you can't do that. Like,
yeah.
But I will say, if somebody says, I don't even know if I would do that. If somebody says, listen, we're all meeting at Mao's. Do you want to go? Would I actually say, oh, look, I'll see you at Mao's, but I'll go somewhere after.
You could make up a reason for not going to say,
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a prick about it.
I'm fixing my washing machine. I'll meet you when whatever puppies end up.
Something like that. I would have. I don't like that ironic use of murderous madmen. I don't like it.
No. Except.
No.
That's what you were getting.
No, I was thinking more of the making the statement. Like if a Mao's opened up in Dundalk and everybody was meeting at Mao's. Would I make a big stand about it? I don't know if I would.
We need a Chipotle before we need a Mouse. I would love for Chipotle to open up in Dundalk.
Yeah, people sneer at Chipotle a lot.
Fucking love it.
Yeah, I've had Chipotle. It's nice.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a song on this album that apparently the opening for it is based on The Race for the Prize?
Oh. Yeah, no, you're right. please.
So this is...
The Flaming Lips song.
Yeah.
Two scientists were racing
which
for the...
It's better than anything on this album. But...
It is a bit. It's a good album. That's a soft bulletin.
Yeah, it's on the soft bulletin. Yeah, it's a great album. I think it's this one, the song for the sadness. Let's just hear it.
Dream.
There's a couple of moves on this album that are like so classic, they're almost not worth doing.
Like, what do you mean?
Like what we just heard. Islands in the stream, down, 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 down. It's just a little bit like, it could be... like
Kenny Rogers?
It could be Rainbow or something, like, you know.
What?
It could be like some kind of Rainbow. 80s power. Well, no, no, no. Okay. Rainbow is... Is Rainbow...
That wasn't me making a joke. I genuinely thought you thought were referring to
no, Rainbow. No. Rainbow is... Since you've been gone.
Oh.
Out of my head, can't take it. It's okay. Almost like one of those kind of bands could have done some of these songs. It's... I don't know. I feel like there's... I feel bad now because I'm the one who picked this, like, you know, but I kind of thought I was going to... I listened to it once.
It wasn't a bad album, but I was going to say I'm going to go back to Hombre Lobo, but I've already gone back to Hombre Lobo.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that anything there will really stay with me.
No, I can... This in the first 5 or 6 songs, I think there's a couple of classics. I like Vivian. Vivian!
Oh, yeah. What was that about?
She's a photographer.
Fair play.
Apparently she took pictures her whole life and developed fuck all of them, and in some basement in New York or something, they found
but never
thousands of undeveloped photographs that this woman, Vivian, had taken. Like, you know.
Oh, wow. Creepy photographs?
No, just like pictures of, like, she worked as a nanny and stuff, and she would just take her camera around and take pictures of the places where she lived. I think she traveled quite a bit, like, and
it's, yeah, but it's amazing. It depends what she was, you know, taking pictures of. It's amazing how blurry the line between creepy and charming can be now.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes there isn't a line, and you just kind of have to make your own call.
I have been meeting up with a lady with some regularity for this past couple of months.
I'm sure she'd love to hear it described like that.
I don't know.
I'm going to clinically describe... no, go ahead.
I happened to be out with some work people on Friday night. The play finished, I went out with some work people. And as it turned out, my phone... do you know what else was weird about that night? My phone is dying a death, right? The battery lasts about 2 hours now. So,
really, yeah?
Yeah, it's gone. I need a new phone. So...
Wait, I have the same phone. How long have you had that? Am I not going to get 2 years out of this thing?
Oh, no, I have that. I would say I have it... You know what? I probably don't have it much more than 2 years. Okay. But I do have it more than 2 years.
Why don't you get you an upgrade?
I'm not Pilpay.
Oh, are you not?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
Are you with Three?
Yeah.
I get like 20 euro top up. I get unlimited texts to any network, unlimited 3-to-3 calls,
I think...
and unlimited data.
Yeah, no, so do I, but it's a bill. But I had to, at the time, I didn't have the money for a phone, so I went on the bill pay because then I could get the phone as well.
Fair play. Yeah, fair play. But, so anyway, my phone was dead, so I had to go looking for the people. It was weird. It was like living in the 1980s. It was like being a time traveler. I had to, like, walk into a couple of pubs. And I was walking through the Vinegar Man's. I couldn't see anybody.
It's like you were in Seinfeld.
It was like I was in Seinfeld. I was actually leaving the Vinegar Man's. I took the walk through the Vinegar Man's, and I was sort of walking out, and then next I hear, Naya! I turn around, and there's Claire. And she's like, wait here. Did you not see us? And I was like, no, you just walked right past us. And I was like, I didn't see you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you didn't do it on purpose. I was looking for you.
I was literally looking for you people. But anyway, I went. But then later on in the night, this lady who I've been meeting up with, it transpired that she was meeting her friends in the very same pub.
It's not a big town.
It's not a big town. But so I went to... So I said, oh shit, I better go look for her. Because a mutual acquaintance had met. I had seen her when she went to the toilet. So I said, oh fuck, I'm going to go see her and say hello. So I went in walking around through the pub and I couldn't find... And then one of her friends... She had gone to the loo, so I couldn't see her. But one of her friends actually knew me through her sister. So she saw me and she was like, it was weird. We didn't say anything, but we made eye contact. And I just went, I was drunk enough that, you know, I was like, is Niamh sitting here with you? People I don't know. And she was like, yeah, I think I know you. You want to play with my sister? And I was like, oh, okay. That explains it. So I said, oh, come here. I sat down with her friends, this lady's friends, who I'd never met or been introduced to.
Bold move.
Well, yeah, and then I said, oh, this is deadly. I tell you what, when she comes back, I'll be sitting here. We pretend I'm trying to chat you up, right? And they were like, okay. And then she started taking a long time coming back, and what seems like an amusing joke at 2 seconds in seems less amusing at 10 seconds in, barely amusing at 30 seconds in, and by a minute it's frankly creepy.
And was did she even notice you were doing it when she came to the table?
Well, when she came to the table, I was like, "Hello, I just introduced myself to your friends." She was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, Sinead Sedges were here." And I was like, "Okay, then."
That's like, yeah.
But I just, you know what? Amusing and creepy. There's sometimes not an enormous distance between them.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean,
I think I got away with it.
Charming and creepy is kind of the same thing. It just depends on the receptive person, the receptor. Receiver.
That's true. I don't dislike serial drug using rapists going to prison. But I do.
Just to make that clear.
Just to make it clear, because I'm about to say something where I think I don't like the idea of unwanted sexual. An unwanted sexual advance being a crime. How do you know if something is an unwanted sexual advance until after the fact?
Yeah, but I think maybe it's the governing of the severity of this advance, you know, like you don't...
Absolutely, I accept that. But then surely it's something that you're doing rather than the fact that you thought, oh, let's try it. I just don't like the phrase. I don't like the phrase because I feel like, well, sure, anything could be an unwanted sexual advance.
Yeah, but some people do dispense with pleasantries and go straight to the heart of the matter, like, you know, and...
You know what? You're right. And I don't feel like I do that.
No, I didn't mean you. Yeah, but, how would I even know?
Yeah, but that's the difference.
Well, that one time we did that.
Yeah, but that's... that doesn't mean I have never made an unwanted sexual advance.
No, I get you.
But that's not a crime. I don't think there's anybody out there who would be going, "Yes, you fucking rapist pervert."
Well, I'd hope not. No, so our listeners would know you a little bit better by now.
But yeah, so I feel like those are two different things. An unwanted sexual advance and actual sexual intimidation are two different things.
Yeah.
It's just something that has occurred to me on occasion hearing this discussed. And people use the phrase very lightly and very flahoolock with that phrase.
In a way that
I feel like, okay, if that's going to be the bar, there's a lot of us in trouble.
I'm sure, yeah, no, you're right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people...
Oh, I keep going back to this. I think Bill Cosby has rattled me to the core, Dan.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things that... The thing about it is that people knew it was going on for years, and
yes,
he just
I remember the jokes
got away with it, like, you know. Yeah, there are jokes about it on 30 Rock, aren't there?
Do you remember when Jack, for Tracy's contract negotiations, Jack gets his hero Bill Cosby to ring him up? He just gets a guy to pretend to be Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah, you man who... Is that Twofer that does that?
No, it's just a guy who works in accounts or something who can do a Bill Cosby impression. Right. And then as soon as Tracy hears Bill Cosby on the other end of the phone, he's like, "You got some nerve talking to me after what you did to my Aunt Janine in 1976.
You put up a quote on Facebook the other day, and I wasn't sure if it was 30 Rock or not, about Phil Collins.
Yes, it was 30 Rock.
"I got 2 ears and a heart, don't I?" Is that 30 Rock?
That's 30 Rock. It was Tracy, when Tracy, his meat machine, his meat is the new bread machine, when Jack agrees to...
This is spitting fat at people.
Yeah, that's what Tracy said. "Jackie D, I owe you a lot. I'm going to make you a mixtape. You like Phil Collins? I got 2 ears and a heart, don't I?"
It's a good line.
It's a good line.
I don't like Phil Collins that much.
I'm largely ambivalent towards him. Yeah. I like that Can't Hurry Love cover, either.
Yeah, I like...
Not as much as the original.
Is it Think Twice? Is that what the song's called?
Think Twice. It's just another day for you and me in paradise.
Another Day in Paradise, that's what it's called.
Mm, Another Day in Paradise.
But I don't, generally speaking, I'm not the biggest fan of In the Air Tonight. People love that song.
Yeah, what does that mean? I can hear... Does he actually say, "I can hear you coming in the air tonight"?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it long enough. What
were they doing?
Everybody thought that fucking...
On a trampoline, like.
Everybody thought that thing with the...
Sorry, go on.
Everybody thought that thing with the gorilla playing the drums to that was hilarious.
I thought that was hilarious.
I just don't like that song very much.
Yeah, but what song?
It takes ages to start, like, you know.
What song wouldn't be improved by having a gorilla play it?
International Blue.
Did I ever tell you about the time in Fantastival, the drummer was talking for, I was in the local band's tent, and I was in for the end of a song. I sort of went onto the dance floor to be dancing, and just as the song ended, and everybody vanished, and I was on the fucking dance floor on my
own. Like an Egypt on your own.
Yeah, like an Egypt on my own. And then the fucking drummer started talking. The fucking, like, the guitar guys sort of slunk back, and the drummer was like, okay, thank you very much, people. And because it was the local band's tent, it was a really small tent, and it was just like a slightly raised platform in front of me that the band was on.
Did you make a comment?
Well, I just sort of shouted up at the lead guitar guy. I wouldn't take that shit from him. I said, I wouldn't take that shit from him. That's what happened. That's what happened, Peter Gabriel.
That's very funny.
It wasn't bad for an off the cuff one. It wasn't bad. I said that's what happened, Peter Gabriel. But I was then put firmly in my place because the guitar guy just sort of looked at me like I had fucking three heads. But the drummer goes, "Okay, okay, we're into the next one." And then he does that opening from In the Air.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, so I had to be like, fair play, sir. I shall shut up for the rest of your set.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good retort.
And it was an amazing retort. Fair play to him.
We're going to jump on to one more song here, and then we should probably talk about the Luc Besson film that I was watching.
I have very little to say about it. Well, then you shouldn't have picked it.
Okay.
I have very little to say about this. I'm only joking.
That's okay.
Let's go for Vivian. So this is...
remind you of The Young Ones?
The Young Ones?
Wasn't that his name, Vivian? With the studs in his head?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's the same first name, yeah, but I suppose it didn't really...
It's literally all I could think of.
Oh, Vivian! No, 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 no.
Play it.
So, alright, this is Vivian.
These streets with a camera around your neck. It's your weapon of choice. It's your ultimate defense. I've seen your face, but I really seen your smile. Did you leave the ruins? Or did you build a life? Vivian, did you ever realize? You left behind. Oh, Vivian. Oh, Vivian. Oh, Vivian.
So that was Vivian by Pneumatic Street Preachers. Actually, not the only song they've ever written about a photographer. Do you remember the song Kevin Carter?
No.
It was kind of a hit. It
Kevin
was off
Carter
the same.
Of Mars.
Is that John Carter?
Oh.
No. Kevin Carter was like a, I think he was a war photographer or something. But there was a song.
Oh, he's not the man with the wee girl, is he? The wee Vietnamese girl, is he?
Oh, possibly. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was a tough photograph to see now, yeah.
That might be. Yeah, because he did. I think, you know, I'm not sure, but he the same album that has Design for Life on it has Kevin Carter on it. It's kind of a hit at the time, but obviously
yeah, you
not.
See, I didn't. The Manics just seemed like intense people, you know.
Well, yeah, they are.
I probably was intense. You know what? If it was today, I might be a bit more. I was too intense. I was a fucking asshole, not my general fucking avuncular self that I am now. Like. But I was an intense teenager, like.
You were pretty intense, but you were funny as well, though. Like funny, ha ha.
Funny in the head. It It just, like, that's the thing about intense people. They don't like being around other intense people because intense people don't agree with each other.
I was an arsehole when we met. We were both kind of arseholes in our own way.
Thank God. Thank God we've moved on from that, Danny.
Yeah.
And now we're pillars of the community.
We were both just in first year of college trying to, like, you know, I was probably trying to distance myself from the weed that I was at school, and I don't think it really worked, but I probably was trying to do that a little bit, like, you know. So, Niall, you got me to watch a film.
Oh, are we finished talking about the Mannix?
Well, I mean, we're an hour and 15 minutes into this thing.
Okay, we are then.
Is there anything else you want to say about the Mannix?
No, I just feel like, right, my only problem with the album is that it was like, it was the Mannix Street Preachers. It was exactly what I would expect from a Mannix Street Preachers album.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, you know who else it irritates me? Radiohead. Because it sounded nothing like Radiohead as I fucking remember Radiohead sounding. And I was just thinking, you know what? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, aren't you?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But
the Mannix Street Preachers have detoured and made interest, like, more sort of interesting albums. This album is quite solid and it's good songwriting on it, but I thought Rewind the Film, there was lots of detours on Rewind the Film that you wouldn't expect from them, like in a few albums like that. Well, Radiohead are all over the shop, like, you know.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
And I hate as much Radiohead stuff as I love, but I don't just love the early stuff and hate the later stuff. It's a bit more sort of all over the place than that.
Yeah.
But, no, I think Radiohead did some of their best stuff on some of their later albums. The last one they put out was brilliant. Like,
was it?
Yeah, it was like, it almost kind of made me think of like a John Martin album or something. It was like, it was kind of folkier than Radiohead have ever been.
Sausages. Living on. Okay.
But it was more folky than you would imagine any Radiohead albums to be.
Yeah, I don't.
It was kind of spacey, acoustic guitar. Like, I don't really like it.
I don't imagine Radiohead to be folky at all, really.
Well, I mean, Fake Plastic Trees. Like, Nick Jones did a version of that, who's like an English folk singer, and he translated that into, like, he did this singer, Nick Jones, did a version of Fake Plastic Trees and turned it into, like, it sounds like an English ballad from the 1800s. Like, it was amazing.
I don't know. They're another anthem band for me, though. I kind of expect
they were. They're not now.
Exactly.
So, they don't have enough anthems, and the Mannix have too many.
I know. It's very hard getting the level of anthems right for me. I accept that. In fact, I think they're fools to try to please me at all.
I'd go
my own way.
But they're two bands I love, like, and some of the Mannix Street Preachers stuff is some of my favourite shit ever, like, you know, like, I love the Holy Bible, I love some of the stuff on Journal for Plague Lovers, I love Rewind the Film, Futurology, like, Everything Must Go, I think, is a brilliant album. I actually think Everything Must Go is a better album than Morning Glory.
What?
It is. It's a better
What's
album.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Yeah, it's a better album. Like, Morning Glory is a good EP with some shit around it, like, you know.
Name me one of the shit ones.
Roll With It.
Alright.
There's two...
I'm not rising to
Morning
that
Glory. Page. There's Wonderwall, Cast No Shadow, Some Might Say, Don't Look Back in Anger, Champagne Supernova, the song Morning Glory, there's one more in there that I like. Hey Now.
She's Electric.
There's like seven songs I really like. There's 12 songs on it, like, you know.
I knew you wouldn't like She's Electric.
No, I don't really like She's Electric. I knew She's Electric. No, I don't really like She's Electric. I think Everything Must Go has more good songs on it than Morning Glory.
What's the story, Morning
Glory? Even though, look, Oasis are my favourite band, that's not going to change.
Favy faves.
And, like, Design for Life, you know, like, is it as good as Don't Look Back in Anger? It's not ready for me to say. No one was singing it when there was bombs going off or whatever, like in Manchester, you know, so. But it's another song about working class pride, though, like, so who knows?
Working class mentality.
But
do you know what's on Netflix now?
What?
All of Porridge.
Do you know what? I saw you share that, and I was like, Jesus, I really need to go and watch Porridge, because I've only ever seen isolated episodes of it, you know?
I watched a shitload of it since it came out.
Is it, where does it stand up, like?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Should we swapped it, like?
Yeah, but it was only one episode or something, wasn't it? Or three episodes.
Two or three, yeah.
At least, it was one of those things where on YouTube they have they have the episode in the corner of the screen with all the sort of bullshit going on around it. I found it very hard to watch.
Now you have it lovingly presented on Netflix.
I have to watch it.
I watched
all the Python stuff is up there now as well.
I saw you share that as well.
I was watching back on some of that.
It's a funny old world, huh?
Look, yeah. But so.
But not as funny then as the world upon which Luc Besson's film Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets takes place.
You want to tell the plot?
Nah.
So it's a French comic or something, is it? Or?
Yeah, apparently it was a 60s French comic. I'm not familiar with it. I have not read it.
Also, what was it? What's the name of the film again? Sorry.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Is Valerian the man in this? Yes. Why is it not called after the woman? Because it seems to me that she kind of does everything.
Yeah, she's very together.
But she, you know, Valerian just seems to just get lost and stuff. Like, and get his arm, thing stuck in his arm and...
I think fans of the comic feel that that was a bit of, shall we say, epic miscasting.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've never read the comic and I know it was miscast. This fucking buffoon.
Was he a buffoon? Yeah. I think he was just a touch of the pretty boy about him, and he wasn't
really...
Yeah,
he wasn't very watchable even for a pretty boy. No. Like, look, I'll watch a pretty boy as much as anybody else, like, you know, but this, even for a pretty boy, he was a dull presence. Like.
I think people were a bit hard on it now.
Is there any CGI in this film?
Yeah, but it's lovingly rendered. Did you not feel it was lovingly rendered?
I don't know, it was like the window of a sweet shop or something, like, you know.
It was very intense. Everything was...
I will say, I didn't hate it. I thought I was going to hate it. I didn't hate it. I'm on a whole new trip with this podcast, man. I'm trying to see the good in all of this stuff.
I thought I would hate it. It got extremely, shall we say, mixed reviews.
What's his name that covers for Kermode when Kermode's away? Loved it.
James King.
Wasn't James King. Is it Robbie somebody?
Robbie Collins.
Robbie Collins loved it.
He did, but he also went on about The Fifth Element, which I don't really like.
It's the same director, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Besson. But, and he kept comparing it to The Fifth Element, and I was like, well, I don't need to see that then. And
I've seen The Fifth Element on telly just like when I was living in Galway, like when it was on.
Yeah.
My flatmate liked that film, so more often than not, if it was on, she would put it on, and I'd sort of see bits of it. Just go, what the fuck is this? I'm not a non-sci-fi person now, but back then I really was. I had no interest in sci-fi, even a little bit, like, you know.
Well, I watched it once. It didn't really stay with me in the slightest, The Fifth Element. I didn't really super like it, to be honest. But it has had a very big kind of cult reappraisal.
But people love her. What's her name? Mila
Jovovich.
Genre types love her. Like,
yeah, why is that?
It's because she's in all those films. Like, she's in the Resident Evil films as well. And
yeah, that's true.
Like, she's just one of those kind of genre icons, like, you know.
I suppose maybe kind of a latter-day sexy Vincent Price.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Or like those fucking people, Tarantino's always, like Pam Grier or someone, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. She's not on my radar now, I have to say.
Well, has she been in anything since they stopped making those Resident Evil films or cast a younger person in them?
I'd say she's our money made, like.
Yeah.
But, it's an interesting one. It is one of those things that did very badly, got ridiculed. I watched it on TV. It didn't do anything for me. And then somewhere in the intervening 20 years, a fan base has grown up around it, and they've been very vocal about being very into Valerian.
Yeah.
But I watched Valerian, and I don't like The Fifth Element. Although it is one of those things I feel like maybe I should revisit now. But as it stands, I have to say The Fifth Element is not a favourite of mine. The Fifth Elephant? Did I say The Fifth Elephant?
I don't think so, no.
That's a Terry Pratchett book.
The first four, grand. Like.
Valerian I really loved from the start. I loved.
Really?
No. No, that's overstating it. I respected it. Here is the plot. The International Space Station is up there through international cooperation and the brotherhood of man working in peaceful coexistence, the International Space Station grows into an enormous structure in space. It becomes our sort of meeting point with various alien races who all come and set up base on the International Space Station. It grows into a super enormous structure that becomes basically a second moon of Earth's. This incredible cosmopolitan place where all these alien embassies shack up to talk to Earth, and it becomes so massive it starts endangering Earth, so the people push it off into space to float away into deep space and go and find its fucking destiny out there amongst the stars, and it becomes the titular city of 1,000 planets. And I'd love to play that bit, but that whole story is related basically wordlessly at the very, very start of the film.
But we are going to put a clip of some sort just here.
You okay?
Yeah, just a bad dream.
No.
But I feel better now.
Don't you think we should run through our assignment?
That's the last thing I feel like doing.
Not very professional, Major.
Look, scored a perfect 200 on my last memory test.
Impressive. Unfortunately, you've forgotten something rather important today.
What's that?
My birthday. Hey.
What can I do to make it up to you?
Beginning descent in 3 minutes. Nothing that you can get done in 3 minutes.
Ah! Come on.
Don't start what you can't finish. Landing on planet Kyrian in 5 minutes.
Okay,
so that was them sort of having the chat, and Valerian very much wants to marry her, and she's having none of it.
Fair order. This is fair play. Like, this Valerian doesn't seem to have an awful lot to offer.
It's not an enormous amount of charisma there.
No.
No, but...
That's not to say she seems like a day at the beach either. She's very stern.
She's a stern lady.
Yeah.
There's something about a stern lady, though.
But she's like... I don't know. I felt like... I couldn't figure out why it was his film. He didn't really seem to do an awful lot.
No, he didn't.
He seemed to sort of fall ass backwards into trouble and have to be sort of continually rescued.
Well, he does rescue her from the brain-eating guys.
I suppose, yeah.
What do you make of Rihanna?
I couldn't figure out what she was doing there, to be honest. Like,
she kind of
and Ethan Hawke was the pimp, wasn't he? Just for like a few minutes, Ethan Hawke was just a space pimp.
Yeah, I mean, how much did that cost? Surely they could have got a cheaper actor than Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, but they could have swapped the roles. Like, Ethan Hawke, even though he's old, could have been Valerian, like, you know.
Yeah, I want him to get the fuck back and make the next fucking Midnight film or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I watched the middle one again recently enough, like... They're great films.
That's the most...
It's the one that hits the closest to home at the minute, like, you know.
Didn't we say this when we swapped?
Yeah.
Just because we're the closest in age to that one.
Yeah, but that's why those films are so good. Like, you'll watch the third one. Like, as we were watching... We both liked the third one, but we were kind of saying out of the three of them, it's the one that, you know... But...
Yeah, go on.
But I think if you watch... We would probably watch the third one in 10 years, and we'd be like, oh, fuck... I just think those films are so well made, like, you know.
I think I misread that third one. I don't think that ends with as neat a bow as I thought it ended with.
Well, how did you think it ended?
I thought it ended with two people going forward ready to try and make their marriage work. And the more I think about it, the more I think that could have been... They could have gone to sleep that night and woke up the next morning and had the talk. This is not working.
I never would have thought there'd be a third one of those, because I thought it was pretty clear on the second one that they were done. Like,
right.
Because she sings that song at the end, but I didn't necessarily think she was singing it to get him back. I thought it was just one of these things that it was like it was a moment in time that's gone now. But we had this lovely day in Paris where we hung out. Like, you know, I didn't think... there was going to be another one. I certainly didn't think that 10 years later there'd be this like bickering married couple. That's not how I would have read that film.
Mm.
They're so good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're amazing films. They're like, when people go on about trilogies, mm-hmm. I can't think of a better trilogy than that, you know.
Toy Story?
I'm not a Toy Story guy or a Star Wars guy. And those aren't trilogies anymore. Just what they're fucking...
Star Wars started off as a pastiche of cereals and is now just a cereal.
Yeah.
But fucking those films are absolutely up there. Do you reckon they'd ever make another one?
Oh, I would be fairly certain they would make another one, yeah.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Because if you think about it, for those actors and that director, it's just a way of telling the story of that, of each sort of 10 or 15 years of your life, like, you know. Mm. So, I mean, it seems like if you were in those three films as either one of those actors or the director, you probably would every now and again think, I wonder where those characters would be right now. Yeah. And I'm sure they all have ideas about it. I would be very surprised if there wasn't another one.
I would love to see it. How old now is that one? Is before before midnight?
I think it's probably 5 or 6 years old.
Is that all?
Yeah, it'll be another wee while, like, you know.
I'd say I have another 5 or 6 years to go anyway. Like,
yeah.
Best case scenario.
But I would love to see another one, definitely.
I'll be first in the fucking queue.
Well, I might wait till it comes out for streaming. But they're the perfect films for streaming. That's the perfect kind of thing to watch on the phone with headphones on or whatever. You know.
Or on the fucking telly. You know what? I watched all three of those at once, single. I wonder, are they something you could watch with a partner?
I don't think so.
It'd be tough.
Because it's... Look...
It's liable to bring something up.
Yeah, it is liable to bring something up. It absolutely is. And it also... Depending on how long you've been with your partner, it reminds you of different partners. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's not... I don't think it would be a good idea. I've certainly never suggested it myself that we sit down and watch... The Midnight before. Trilogy, like, or the whatever they're called. Like,
yeah, what is it? Before Sunrise, Before Sunset.
And After Midnight. Before Midnight.
Before Midnight.
Yeah. So the Before Trilogy. No, yeah. One of them's After. Whatever.
After Midnight.
The fucking...
Although most of it happens before Midnight.
The Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy Trilogy.
Yeah. Jesus, they're so good. I can't believe you thought that it was just a stolen day in Paris. I absolutely did.
Because he was married. Like, I didn't think, as a result of that day, he would go home and break up his marriage. I still, if there's an issue I have with the whole trilogy, I still don't think that's that realistic.
I think you're thinking wrong about it. I don't think he went home, and I don't think he eventually made the plane. I think he missed that plane.
Okay, still, I would still have issues with that.
I'd have missed
narrative the move.
I would have missed the plan for her.
For Julie.
That night, yeah. Would you not have?
Also, but my reading of that was that it wasn't necessarily on the table for him to miss that plane. I think the way I saw that film, I don't think she was that into it. I think she was maybe swept up a little bit in the moment, but I kind of read that as that she wasn't...
They were absolutely both swept up in the moment, I think.
Well, that's, you know, that's just, it's a minor thing, really. Although, no, it's, I suppose the whole third film hinges on it, but...
I have to say I came to the end of that film thinking, whatever you need to do, Ethan.
Jesus, we didn't disagree on something, did we?
I just feel like... If she's doing that, if she's like, if she's invited you and she's sitting on the bed and she's playing you a love song that she wrote.
Oh, it's so hard to watch. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But in another way, it's...
Because she's embarrassed. You can tell that she gets that line in the song and she can hardly say it. Because his name is in the song, isn't it? Like in...
I can't remember his name.
She can hardly bring herself to say it.
What she's singing.
See, that's
about
why I thought it wasn't that romance wasn't going any further, because she seemed to be pretty embarrassed by the whole thing. Like, you know,
I really kind of think of embarrassment as being a perfectly fucking standard part of that whole procedure.
Procedure.
What can I say? I love those films.
Yeah, no, they're brilliant, yeah.
In my head, he went over to the bed. Nature took its course. He said, fuck the flight. Then he had to explain it to the wife. And maybe it took him a couple of months to explain it to the wife. Maybe he didn't come straight out and said, yeah, I met an old flame and I fucking shagged her instead of making the plane.
See,
that was my opinion.
Well, at the time, obviously, like, you were correct because they made another film, you know. But when I watched that, I thought he was going to leave. And, like, I think on the way home on the plane, he would have been, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, you know, like, what was it? What did I think I was doing? And it would just be this kind of flutter. And then he went back to his actual life where he wanted to be, like, you know.
But I fair play, but I think I was very wrong about the third one. I want to watch that one again. Because I'm not so sure their marriage survived either, to be 110% with you.
Well, we find out in a few years when Linklater gets his finger out of his arse and makes another one, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's doing right now.
Pop it out of there, Rich.
Have you seen Boyhood?
No.
Boyhood's brilliant.
He's had a new one since.
Yeah, it's it's like a college thing, isn't it? Or
yeah, it sounded a bit dazed and confused.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. I don't think it. Look, I haven't seen it. I really should watch it, but to me, it didn't sound like my cup of tea.
But Boyhood.
Boyhood is amazing.
Fair play.
It's as good as the trilogy, like, you know.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
I will check it out. These are all fucking things I say I'll check out, but
I think you'd like it. I think you'd be in ribbons at the end of it, like, you know. Like, well, no one dies or anything, but it is a very emotional film. Spoilers.
All right.
But I watched it with Kat, and we stuck it on the laptop. You know what? It was on the laptop on a fucking stool in front of the couch, and someone had given me, I think it was Spoilers Frank, who gave me a hard drive with a load of films on it, and it was on it. And I just wanted to put on a few minutes of it just to see what it was like. And we ended up watching the whole thing. It's pretty long, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, Kat was... It really affected her. Like, you know, she was, like... Not like, upset, like... But, you know, the way you just, like... Sometimes these films make you think about your own life and stuff. Like, she wasn't upset, per se. But there's something about it that sort of... Maybe sort of puts you in mind of, like... I think she was watching it thinking... Particularly when it got to the college years, she was kind of thinking, oh, I wish my college years were a bit more like that. And it makes you think of maybe one or two wasted opportunities in your childhood, like, you know. And,
yeah.
But it's brilliant. It's really good. Like.
But, I will check it out because he is amazing. He's made some of my very, very favourite films. But they hit very close to home. They hit very close. They hit very close to home.
And it's talking about hitting close to home.
They hit very Valerian close to home, and Valerian is a film which I also admire, but does not hit even remotely close to home.
No, I've never, seen Rihanna
the space
turn into a water blob or whatever.
That was weird. It was kind of fun. You see, I forgive it that. People, I have heard people criticize that, like, what would that got to do with anything? That was just a complete diversion. But the entire thing is a complete diversion, you know?
Films are...
Yeah, but this was clearly wearing on its sleeve the fact that it was an adaptation of sort of serial adventure fiction. It was like there was a load of unconnected 20-minute adventures, basically.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that.
There was kind of an overarching thing where they had to find out what these weird fucking pretty aliens were about.
But, I don't really like films where I feel like the whole thing is green screened. Like, I don't like those kind of films, you know.
I accept that. However, how could they have done this? This wasn't concerned with looking real. Yeah, lads
in costumes.
No. I really don't think so, because this was...
Even feel like it was great CGI, some of it.
I liked it now. I thought it was good. But...
I had a touch of the Avatar about it, some of it.
Yeah.
The first few minutes on that beach when he's asleep and with all the pearls and the people on living there.
Yeah, but I of all the things, I am not a fan of Avatar.
No, me neither.
But of all the things I would criticize it for, poor CGI would not have been one of them. Like,
I just didn't really think it looked that good, you know. Not like, you know, when you go to see the like the fucking Avengers or the recent Star Wars films, and the CGI is kind of brilliant on them. I think it's because it's like real backgrounds though as well, whereas this thing was, the whole thing was CGI, and it was just a little bit hard to watch. Like,
but it was also deliberately trying to take you, it wasn't,
I tend to forgive it because the main problem with CGI is that a lot of times there's just some kind of indefinable thing that makes it not look real.
Yeah.
And I don't think this film gave two flying fucks about not looking real. I think this film set out to look as crazy out there as I could possibly look. And I was like, all right, okay, these aliens look like they're made out of plastocene.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's... There's these no aliens point in,
look like they're fucking...
There's no point in criticizing it for not looking like porridge. Like, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, I was watching Mad Max, actually, there last week, the new one.
Yeah, I fell asleep when I went to see that in the cinema.
I loved it. That is intense. That is a film that would not have worked as well with CGI.
It's a while since I've seen it, but remember, my memory of it is they're driving the truck and they get a certain amount of the way after beating up a load of people and all that, and then it's like, oh, we have to turn, I can't remember why, but they're like, oh, we have to turn back. And I feel like then they just went back and kind of the same few minutes of the film kind of just happened again, like, you know. And
I'm changing my mind of what I'm going to swap next week.
Oh, you're not going to make me watch Mad Max, are you?
Did you really not like it?
My memory of it is that I didn't like it that much. Didn't like it, but I didn't love it or anything, right?
Well, then you're welcome.
I don't mind.
You're welcome, Danny. I'm going to give you the chance to reappraise because it really is quite... listen, all I'm saying is that there are two, like, extremes, and you have Mad Max, which worked absolutely specifically because it used CGI. Another film
that shouldn't even be called Mad Max. It should be called fucking Shaved Head Lady that Charlize Theron plays.
Imperator Furiosa. yeah. But Valerian's not interested in looking real. Valerian is interested in making you kind of vaguely giggle. The reason I wanted to swap it is because I wanted to see A Wrinkle in Time. A Wrinkle in Time there a while back, and I feel like there is these series of films, and they're reaching out to that kind of era of sci-fi, that kind of new wave era of sci-fi in the 60s and 70s, which came about at a time of real sort of political instability and upheaval, and was a weirdly kind of spiritual version of science fiction that hadn't really existed before, that was kind of about learning to live, learning to accommodate the human condition in that kind of modern thing. And I feel like it's the human spirit trying to reach out to just heal itself, Danny. Like, it's everybody's angry and nobody likes anybody, and I feel like there are people fumbling in the dark to try and find the fucking switch that they can flick that will make us go, okay, I'm not that angry, actually. And you know what? You're all right. And I feel like Valerian is kind of part of that mold.
How?
It is deeply... It opens, basically, almost the opening shot is Chinese astronauts and American astronauts hugging in zero gravity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, because of this hug, and because we decide to work together instead of apart... Amazing things are accomplished for the human race. And the whole thing is about... Spoilers, Frank. Sorry, lad. the whole thing is about Clive Owen trying to cover his political ass while our heroes try to do the right thing. He's trying to cover up a fuck-up he made in his younger career days. And that is really hurting a race of perfectly lovely aliens. And when Valerian... finds this out, they decide they're gonna set things right, by God, even if they have to take on all of the might of Clive Owen to do it.
Yeah, I suppose.
I had those creepy fucking robots in this fucking magical wonderland of space that you see in Valerian. You have those creepy fucking robots that just are so obviously killer robots, it's not even worth talking about. It's like, oh, those are killer robots.
Should we drop a clip in here?
Let's drop in Clive, baby.
You're late, Major.
Sorry, sir. Things got a bit more complicated than we expected.
Prepare for the worst and you won't be disappointed. Neither will I.
I'll keep that in mind, sir.
And you, have you checked the converter?
He's in great shape.
May I ask what's going on?
Follow me. classify. A year ago, we discovered a radioactive zone right in the middle of the station. No signal of any kind could get through it. We sent several probes, none came back. So we sent in a special unit. Its mission was to get as close to the zone as possible and define the nature of the threat.
And?
No one came back alive.
Any idea who attacked them?
No. This is the situation today. The air in the zone is unbreathable, highly contaminated, and it continues to grow. Like a tumor.
A tumor we have to cut out as soon as we can. If we don't, and this cancer keeps spreading, it will destroy Alpha in less than a week.
Commander, who would have any reason to destroy Alpha? Practically every living species is represented here.
This is a weapon of mass destruction, and behind every weapon there is a killer. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a threat to us all. It must be eliminated.
Through here.
Commander?
Minister.
The Council has given you the green light, but we strongly recommend that international law and the civil rights of all concerned should be respected.
Of course, I shall see to it personally.
Agents Valerian and Laureline will be responsible for your personal protection.
Sir, that won't be necessary. I have a unit of K-Tron that are personally
it's
trained...
It's a direct order from the government, Commander. The two agents need to report on the outcome of the operations.
As you wish.
Gentlemen, lady... Good luck.
So, clip of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Valerie and the Planets.
It's Valerie and the Planets. They should have called it that. But it's I just like that it's part of that kind of thing. Because I'm a big, to be honest with you, that's my sci-fi, right? That's the sci-fi I like.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's crazy hippy-dippy sci-fi is, to be honest with you, is what it is. It's kind of out of favor at the minute. But it kind of seems like it might be coming back in favor now with the way
the Man going. In the High Castle has been back. That was a thing.
Yes.
You know.
Wrinkle in Time. You know what? Even Avengers Infinity War is based on sort of Jim Starlin's Marvel Comics work, and that was definitely playing in the same wheelhouse. Jim Starlin was absolutely that old kind of hippie fucking sci-fi writer. And his Marvel Comics stuff was always more about going into space.
Is any of the comics stuff good now? The superhero stuff? Is there any of it that you're still keeping up with that's any good? Or are you kind of done with it? Or...
I'm not really keeping up with it anymore. It's a big, but you know what it is? If I went and did my research, I'm sure I could find something. But people recommend you events.
Okay.
And I've zero interest in that. And the very fact that there are events there to... Because I know from when I was reading comics regularly, events were the things that fucked up all the good stories. Because all the good stories had a fucking stop, sometimes permanently, often not, but sometimes permanently, so that the event could happen.
To service these events. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have no interest in reading your fucking
See, movie. I feel like the way they can do the films is that they're all events.
They can, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But... in a way, they're serial. In a way, cinema's come full circle. Like, what are they? What are the Marvel films but fucking serials? Like?
Flash Gordon.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
Just the biggest, most expensive Flash
Gordon. How have they not remade Flash Gordon again? You think that'd be ripe at the minute.
Good question,
like.
Yeah. It's a good question. We should do it.
You and me. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, a spec script for Flash Gordon.
Yeah, do you know any blondie fellas be willing to? Because the fucking fella that played him the last time was no actor.
He was a basketball player or something, wasn't he?
He was a football player.
Was he a football player, was he?
Yeah, he was a white dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means he wasn't even one of the best football players.
No, he was a middlelands football player. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? You would imagine
Flash.
That would go.
Ah, he'll save every one of us. Or whatever.
Every man, every woman, every child. What was I listening to?
They did some good stuff for films, Queen. They also did the... Ooh. I am immortal. I have inside me blood of kings. I love that song.
Didn't they do Who Wants to Live Forever as well?
Yeah, it's on
the
Highlander
same
as well.
Film.
I don't even know if that film's any good. I loved that film when I was younger. It's probably
so
shit.
I imagine it's probably. I would hope it would be one you could at least get a giggle out of. Like.
Yeah, like what's the bad guy's name in it? The big dude.
Kurgan.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgive me, Father. I am a worm. I just remember saying that at one point.
I remember the Jewel. Do you remember the Jewel? In like aristocratic France pre-revolution.
They kept shooting him and he kept getting back up.
Dan O'Connell shot a man in a duel, the great pacifist.
Really?
Apparently duels died a slow death in Ireland. They were long after everywhere else had been like, okay, we can't be sad.
I'm sure I saw one on the way up.
I tell you what, it settles an argument. Well, does it? I wonder.
There's no comeback anyway. You probably but then one his of his mates will shoot you.
Hey, fuck you!
You can't just go around dueling with people.
Just fucking duels like dominoes. That's what Ireland was like up until about the 1850s.
It's not that long ago, really.
No, it isn't. But
did Luc Besson make Lucy?
Oh, I don't know.
Was that him?
Do you know what? I don't know that I super like Luc Besson stuff.
Oh, neither do I. I like that film, but I mean, I liked it more than this film. Okay. I liked it more than The Fifth Element. I just sort of, I watched it by accident one night. I had the HBO service, the streaming thing, when I was in the States, and it was on there, and I just put it on one afternoon and thought it was really good.
Lucy.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He, where do you stand on Leon? Do you remember Leon?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Right, I'm doing a third change of mind, Danny.
There's like huge fucking... There are craters in my knowledge of films in particular, but popular culture in general, that you could drive a bus through.
If you were to turn around now and ask me what I think of Leon, I would tell you it's phenomenal. I don't think I've seen it since I was about 16. So I think that'd be an interesting one to revisit.
Do you know that every time...
Even though it'd be two Luc Besson films in a row.
Is that him as well, is it?
Yeah, but I mean...
Very different film.
Very different.
To be fair to him, he's covering some ground there.
Yeah. But it'd be an interesting one, I think.
Kat likes that film, but I think in America it must have been called Leon the Professional. Because she has said to me, have you ever seen Leon the Professional? And I was like, do you just mean Leon? She was like, no, Leon the Professional. You know, I think it must have been called that in the States.
Yeah,
is that very young Natalie Portman in that film?
Creepily young Natalie Portman. I'm watching...
But isn't that the story, though?
Yeah, it's a strange one. But I'm watching a thing. You'd be fucking grateful I'm not swapping this much because you would fucking hate it. I'm watching The Alienist on Netflix.
Oh, I've heard people talk about it. Yeah,
it's
the
first thing I've gotten into now in a long time.
Lost in Space, no.
Oh, I watched the first episode.
Oh, did you? I thought I was only joking.
No, it was... Do you know what? It is absolutely nothing like I thought it would be. And not necessarily in a bad way, but not in a way that made me want to watch it.
I get you.
The Alienist is... It's fucking hard to watch, man, sometimes.
Netflix seem to be taking this sort of sci-fi ball and running with it. They're doing a ton of sci-fi at the minute, aren't they? There's Mr. Carbon, what's it called? Altered Carbon, sorry.
Yeah.
Carbon Man.
Carbon Man.
And there's, isn't there a few other things? The Expanse is supposed to be very good.
I'm sure there's a lot of them that are good. And in fairness, The Alienist, it's not science fiction, but it looks expensive.
I just assumed because it was called The Alienist. It was fucking...
Alienist.
Take me to your leader.
Alienist, a psychiatrist.
I actually like doing on this podcast is coming up with the most insulting ways of talking about these sci-fi shows I've never seen.
Take me to your leader.
So, it's just entertaining for me. I know I'm not making a real comment on it.
I saw my scrotum. Looked like something out of Doctor Who. Take me to your leader. Oh, fuck.
That's why I like saying things like fucking Captain Carbon and stuff like that.
That's allowed. So Valerian probably wasn't for you. Valerian was very fast-paced. Every minute, a new sort of concept or a new idea to jump out.
I was saying it to my cousin because last Sunday afternoon I watched it and I met him in the kitchen just because we live together as I was just like boiling the kettle or whatever and I was saying to him, oh, just watch that Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets, and he was like, do you know what, I really liked that film, I saw that in the cinema, I thought it was great. He was saying, again, like you were saying, he's saying, I didn't really like the main fella in it, but I thought it was really good,
I think if they had got somebody a little just ever so slightly a bit more kind of world weary or something.
He's too young,
he looked like a fucking teenager trying to seem like a hard man, and that wasn't how the role was written.
Kind of, fuck, we would have been better off with 10-year-old Natalie Portman in it. Like, you know, she would have been more convincing. Like, you know.
It was... Listen, all I can tell you is I enjoyed it. I respected what he was trying to do. I really do feel like people are trying to reach out and figure out a way to fucking flip the switch. And I think this was one of those attempts. And I like that. Because things are getting very polemical and very political. And I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, no, I get you. And it is a weird time at the minute. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm always kind of second guessing myself as to what I should be saying and not saying. And
I've decided I'm not doing that.
It's a good move, I think.
It's grand. I just say what I think now. Like,
luckily enough, you're the kind of person who can say what they think and not lose all your friends. You know, like, there's a lot of people who say, I'll just say what I think, and they're the last people in the world who should be saying what they think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. Marmite people. I'm a Marmite person. Are you? But remember David Mitchell talking about that?
Does anybody like Marmite, though? What did David Mitchell say?
It was like, oh, it's just something that before you go assholes ahead, say to
my, I was just saying, I live with my cousin. His girlfriend at the minute, she's Canadian, and she'd never seen Peep Show before.
Oh.
And she's watching Peep Show at the minute, but she also listens to the podcast, and I said I would get you to do your David Mitchell, so you're just about to do it. What did he say about Marmite?
Do you know what? I can't remember exactly what he said.
Basically,
his opinion was that somebody's claiming they were a Marmite person was just a way of saying, for Marmite person, if somebody claims they are a Marmite person, for a Marmite person, read asshole. People either love me or hate me. Really? Isn't it more like, people hate you?
Do a Peep Show line. I told her I'd get you to do something from Peep Show.
I suppose.
See, I'm putting you on the spot now.
No, I got it. I suppose doing things you hate is just the price you pay to avoid loneliness.
You have that locked and loaded.
I love Peep Show. He's so good. He's like, you know who was a Marmite person? Hitler. Most people hate him, but the people who love him really love him.
That was a soapbox.
But I feel like
anyone who says that I just shoot from the hip, that means they're the last people in the world that should be shooting from any hip.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, because
and shoot them in the hip quickly so they can't run after you.
Take that hip. because the other night when I suddenly realized, oh, what I'm doing could very easily be construed as creepy here. When I introduced myself to Neve's friends, basically, I immediately said it, and that deflated a lot of tension on that table. I immediately was like, oh, listen, I came up with this plan when I thought this was going to be hilarious, but now that I'm sitting here, I think maybe it's just coming across as creepy. And you could see they were going, oh, okay, he gets it. And once they were okay, once they was like, oh, he gets it, they were like, no, it'll be fine.
That's good.
You know, but... Yeah, but that wouldn't have happened if I just sort of sat there and seized up and thought, oh my God, I've made a terrible mistake.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Like, there's no social fucking faux pas you can get that deep into that can't be, you know, pulled back out of the fire with an acknowledgement or an apology.
Yes. Like, you're right about that, actually.
It's, like, that's why there's no social emergencies, because all you have to do is put your hand up and say, I think I've got this wrong. I'm going to press rewind. And,
I have misread the room.
Yeah. And I think people appreciate it. Like,
do appreciate it. You're absolutely right. Because you could see at that table. Yeah.
It was starting to get a little bit...
It wasn't even that it was starting to get it, but I don't think I realized there was any tension until the tension left. You know that kind of way?
Yeah.
I could feel the tension in me, and obviously at least two or three of the girls there were like, the same tension was kind of building. It wasn't crazy tension. It wasn't deal-breaker tension, but once it's acknowledged, it was, you know what? It was so insubstantial a tension that once it was acknowledged, it evaporated. But...
It evaporated on contact with air.
On contact with acknowledgement.
With acknowledgement, yeah.
Yeah. But that was... So I feel like it's a good policy. I'll just say what I think now.
That's fair enough.
And let the chips fall where they may. And if I'm an asshole, so I obviously have no problem. No, not so be it. I'll apologize quite sincerely.
That's a good way to be heading forward.
I think so, yeah.
Not that you needed to correct anything, but that as a philosophy, I appreciate it.
I think we both know I did. But, yeah, see, but that's what I like. I mean, because Jordan Peterson, you remember we saw Jordan Peterson? He has this thing about propagandistic sort of films. And I think he would feel Valerian was a propagandistic film that was soft-soaping communism because, or soft-handing or glad-handing communism because the Chinese were there. However, I kind of also feel that he has this idea that a story is a certain thing, and I'm also basically a Jungian, and I kind of agree with him, but I also think that didn't happen spontaneously out of the ground, that those are the stories that survived. And I think if we want to go forward and have new stories and try and orient ourselves in better ways, we have to keep trying to reach into the darkness and flip that switch.
I for one, am looking forward to new stories.
You'll find they'll just be different versions of the old stories.
Yeah, no, probably, but still.
But I would like to try and... I would like to see... I think I respect what Valerian was trying to do.
That's fair enough. And you said you'd nothing to say about it.
And it was great fun, yeah. And that sequence, the opening sequence where they're at Big Market, I thought that was great.
Yeah, it is very good, actually, yeah. I thought
that was a great idea. And there's no point in me trying to explain it. It's too complicated.
Just watch it.
Watch the first fucking 20 minutes of the film. I guarantee you, have you made of stone not to enjoy the idea of Big Market? It's a great sci-fi idea.
And if you are made of stone, we don't mean to insult you.
No,
you
like... Like Korg from Thor. If
someone must have just snuck up behind you and left a set of earbuds on your head so you can hear this if you are hearing it. But for next week, Niall.
What did I land on?
You landed on something. Leon.
I want you to watch Leon.
Okay, so that way it went from Leon Goodfellas. The Professional. Leon the Professional. It went from Goodfellas to, what was it, Mad Max to Leon.
To Leon, yeah.
I want you to listen to, I was hanging out with Neil.
Mm-hmm. I've half listened to, and I will listen to the rest.
Neil is what often sunburned? Sorry?
Am I sunburned?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, fair play.
I can feel, do you know, at the top of my head I can kind of feel it a little bit, so maybe we did get sunburned.
Well, we were standing
in direct, like, quite intense sunlight.
The light of the silvery sun. Clair de lune is one thing, French for by the light of the silvery moon.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway.
Porridge. Sorry, go on.
What often happens when Neil O'Connor and I get in the same building is that there is much watching of Rolling Stones DVDs. Wow. And Neil is something of a fan. So he kind of got me thinking about the Stones. And then I was reading on Cut. They have this retrospective on...
I'd say Bill Cosby's looking at Mick Jagger. Irate.
You're probably right.
Go on, continue on.
I don't think it's the same thing, but...
No, it isn't. Go on.
But, there was a retrospective in Uncut Magazine this month about Beggar's Banquet.
Good album.
I want you to go and listen to Beggar's Banquet. Have you ever listened to the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Actually, quite recently.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so, let's do Leon the Professional and, from me, another male white rock and roll band, Niall. Rolling Stone. In fact, the main male white rock and roll band.
Yeah, the ultimate male white rock and roll
band. I have band. To fucking get off that trip, man. The next week now, I gotta have to... I actually had another album that I was going to swap with it.
You've made it a token thing now, Dan. Don't...
No, but it's not a token thing, because look, you could say token, but sometimes to get yourself out of a way of thinking, it for a little while, like maybe it does have to be token, because you're trying to, you know, disrupt your own unhealthy patterns.
I accept that.
But
fair play.
Not this week.
Good point.
Rolling Stones. The whitest and malest of all the rock bands. All
right.
Beggar's Banquet. So
fantastic.
That is us for this week. Thanks very much for listening.
Folks, these are troopers, lads.
Thanks,
Neil, for standing in last week. That was brilliant.
Yeah, we
well, unless it veers wildly now in the second half of the podcast before I've listened to it.
Fucking the completely turned into like a Galway's answer to Mel Gibson.
You make several threatening references to the UN.
It was so hard to get to 500 words. Thanks very much, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Au revoir. Green plastic watering cans. Fake Chinese rubber band. The fake plastic earth. She bought it from
I'm a rubber man in a town full of rubber plants. Get rid of itself. It wears her out. It wears her out. It wears her out. Broken man, a cracked polystyrene man, who just crumbled.